Now, we have on this Sunday and the following Sundays, we're taking the Gospel from year A. It's rather long, it'll take a while, so I suggest you'd be much more comfortable sitting down this morning, listening. So you have to listen, you won't find it in the missalettes. The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus came to a town of Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of land which Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there. Jesus, tired from his journey, sat down there at the well. It was about noon. A woman of Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." His disciples had gone into the town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How can you, a Jew, ask me, a Samaritan woman, for a drink? For the Jews use nothing in common with the Samaritans." Jesus answered and said to her, "If only you knew the gift of God, and who is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water."
Give us living water. Give us living water. Give us living water. Give us living water.
The woman said to him, "Sir, you do not even have a bucket, and the cistern is deep. Where then can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us this cistern and drank from it himself with his children and his flocks?" Jesus answered and said to her, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I shall give will never thirst. The water I shall give will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I may not be thirsty or have to keep coming here to draw water."
Give us living water. Give us living water.
Jesus said to her, "Go call your husband and come back." The woman answered and said to him, "I do not have a husband." Jesus answered her, "You are right in saying, 'I do not have a husband,' for you have had five husbands, and the one you have now is not your husband. What you have said is true." The woman said to him, "Sir, I can see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you people say that a place to worship is in Jerusalem." Jesus said to her, "Believe me, woman, the hour is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You people worship what you do not understand. We worship what we understand, because salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now is here, when true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. And indeed, the Father seeks such people to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth.
Give us living water. Give us living water.
The woman said to him, I know that the Messiah is coming, the one called the Christ. When he comes, he will tell us everything. Jesus said to her, I am he, the one speaking with you. At that moment, his disciples returned and were amazed that he was talking with a woman. But still no one said, what are you looking for? And why are you talking with her? The woman left her water jar and went into the town and said to the people, come, see a man who told me everything I have done. Could he possibly be the Christ? They went out from the town and came to him. Meanwhile, the disciples urged him, Rabbi, eat. But he said to them, I have food to eat of which you do not know. So the disciples said to one another, could someone have brought him something to eat? Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of the one who sent me and to finish his work. Do you not say, in 4 months the harvest will be here? I tell you, look up and see the fields ripe for the harvest. The reaper is already receiving payment and gathering crops for eternal life, so that the sower and the reaper can rejoice together. For here the saying is verified that one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap what you have not worked for. Others have done the work, and you are sharing the fruits of their work.
Many of the Samaritans of that town began to believe in him because of the word of the woman who testified, he told me everything I have done. When the Samaritans came to him, they invited him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. Many more began to believe in him because of his word. And they said to the woman, we no longer believe because of your word, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is truly the Savior of the world. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Jesus Christ.
To one of the most fascinating stories in the Bible. And have you ever noticed Jesus was just a phenomenal storyteller? And there are so many different things in the story of the Samaritan woman that, strictly speaking, we could be here for the next 4 or 5 hours and we still wouldn't have exhausted everything in that beautiful story. So I'm just going to pick out one or two things and then leave you with how a little suggestion, a very important suggestion, how each one of us here, myself included, because I need to hear myself saying this too, how we can apply it to our own lives. And before we begin, there's a little story about, since we're talking about marriage and being married in the story, this young woman was preparing to get married, and she went along to the wedding cake decorator and asked him if he would, when he was finished the icing of the cake, if he would put on top her favorite phrase from saying the first letter of Saint of John, in the epistle of John, chapter 1, chapter 4, verse 18. Fear, love casts out all fear. In perfect love, there is no fear. And so he said he would do that for her. But the wedding decorator didn't know the difference between a letter and the gospel. And so instead of putting the quotation from 1 John on the wedding cake, he thought she meant the gospel of John 4:18. And when herself and her new husband came to cut the wedding cake, on the wedding cake was, "You have had 5 husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband." Happy honeymoon. Right. Now, I happen to just tell you a little bit. I had 2 wonderful days down at the Religious Congress in Anaheim. It's a marvelous event. And on Friday morning, I went to one of the talks, and one of the main speakers was this lovely young woman, a Latino woman, who did the parable of the Good Samaritan, and she put on a veil, and she was absolutely phenomenal. She was absolutely wonderful. And she came out, she put on this, and she came out, and she said, "So I'm going to the well for some water. Ah, I see this man sitting there. What is he doing there?" And as I approached, he said, "Give me a drink." He, a Jew, asking me, a Samaritan, for a drink. Oh. And she went on. It was absolutely fascinating. I'm not an actor. I never had any. You, probably some of you think I am, but I never had any great ambitions to be an actor. I wouldn't mind doing it sometime as another career. But anyhow, I'll do a bit more maybe some other time. Now I want you to look at that. Here was this woman coming along. Why was she coming in the noonday sun? Well, at the height of the sun at noon, when nobody else would be around, because she was so ashamed. Why was she ashamed? Because of people like us who are judging her. And don't you always, listen, be honest, when you hear of the Samaritan woman, don't you think of her as not a very good woman? Be honest. Because you wouldn't have 5 husbands, would you? Who would marry you 5 times? So, you know, don't we think of her. But look at the background to it. In the culture of Jesus, women were, you know, just chattels. Don't like using that word, but that's it. And for any reason, a husband could divorce or separate from his wife. A reason like, for example, because she couldn't become pregnant, or even because she couldn't cook. Now, some of you wouldn't have a hope in hell if that was. But because she couldn't cook. So she was a person. She was a person who was abused. Abused. a word we often use today. She was an abused woman. She was rejected. She was discarded. And you probably know some. I know quite a few women whose husbands walked out on them, rejected them. And if anyone is in that position here today, well, you know what I'm talking about, and my heart goes out to you. And likewise, sometimes a husband is rejected by his wife. She meets somebody else, and she leaves. So there's many, many people in that position today. And look how we, in the past, have treated people like that. Look how we have treated them. Look at our kind of, look into your own heart and don't say, well, I'm not like that. Well, look again. We've all been guilty of that. And I want to go back a little bit, meant to put it in first, but I didn't, but we can correct that. Jacob's well, there's a significance of why was this meeting at Jacob's well? Well, very, very briefly, Jacob's well was in a place called Shechem. In the translation of the Bible, Sychar, in a place called, little town called Shechem. Today, it's no longer called Shechem. Shechem is called Nablus. Those of you who have been to the Holy Land, and many people here have, including myself, it's now in a place called Nablus. Nablus, N-A-B-L-U-S. And now Jacob's well, there's a lot of history attached to Jacob's well. It was given by Jacob to his son Joseph. It happened also to be a place, Jacob's well, that area, where God made promises to Abraham, the covenant, and so on. So it was a place where promises were made, and unfortunately, sometimes promises were broken or not kept. It was also a place where young couples went courting to Jacob's well, and they promised to love, that they made a covenant of love. So there's a lot of significance there. Keep that in your mind as we go in a little bit more to the story this morning. And so there is Jesus, this man, and there is this woman coming together at Jacob's well. It's absolutely beautiful when you look at it like that. And so Jesus sits down and he begins talking to her. Now, what did Jesus see when he met that woman? He mirrored her. So he got her to look into a mirror and really see herself as she really was. And Jesus looked into her heart. He looked into her heart. How often do we do that? We judge people by the most silly things. Where they live, what kind of a car they have, how educated they are, how much money they have. And don't say you don't. We do. We do. Jesus looked into her heart and he saw there a beautiful person. So a person made in the image of God, just like any one of you here are, made in the image and likeness of God. So I've been training myself to look at every person I see and say, there's an image of God. Doesn't matter your size, your shape, your weight, anything else. But these are the norms and the standards by which we judge people. And so Jesus began talking to her and gradually got her around to where he said to her, go and bring your husband. And she said to Jesus, well, I don't have a husband. I don't have a husband. And Jesus says, I know. What a lovely revelation. I know. Did he reject her? No. Now, there's another very significant thing there. But the man she was living with at the moment was the sixth man that came into her life. So there's a woman that has been rejected, abused, discarded, thrown aside five times. Now she's seeking. What is she seeking? Like any one of us here, just some kind of peace, some kind of happiness, some kind of joy in her life. And she hasn't found it. And then she meets this man, who happens to be Jesus. What number was he? Number seven. Number seven. The seventh man that came into her life. And the seventh in the scripture is notes perfection. For the first time in her life, she met somebody who loved her as she was, without any prejudice or judgment of any kind. Now again, look at yourselves. How often we judge. We're so quick to look at people and to judge. And so we look at people who have failed in marriage. We look at people belong to the LGBT community and we don't accept them. These people too are loved by God. They too are images of God, and we got to remember that and not be so quick, and I include myself, be so quick in categorizing people and, you know, and judging people. Don't be so quick. And let's listen to our Holy Father Pope Paul. When he was asked, are there homosexuals in the Vatican? Well, you know, as he said, they don't go around wearing labels, so how do I know? And anyhow, he said, who am I to judge? Now, I want you all to repeat that after me. Who am I to judge? Who am I to judge? And say amen to that. We have no right to judge. So I'm asking you this morning, make a resolution for Lent if you do nothing else. From now on, I'm not going to be so quick to judge. I'm going to look at myself. I'm going to be honest. Maybe for the first time in my life, look into my own heart. Don't be looking at somebody else. I've got to look at myself. And I've got to make that resolution and that promise. I'm going to stop being so quick to judge people. Because otherwise we're never going to come together. We're always going to be separated, polarized. And if ever we need to come together and have some kind of unity, listen to the gospel this morning. And look at Jesus. And look at that rejected woman. And how he loved her. And she was baptized. And she received a name. Do you know the name of the Samaritan woman? She got a new name. Fortini. Photini. Fortini. That word means the enlightened one. And what happened to her? Very little significant line that probably most of us missed in the gospel this morning. What happened to her? What did she leave behind? What did she leave behind? Were you listening? What did she leave behind? Were you listening? What did she leave behind? Her jug. Honestly. What are you like? Good. You're very good, top of the class. She left behind her jug. What's the significance of that? She left behind her old life. The old woman, so to speak, was left there at the well, and a new woman went back to the village. Enlightened. Fortini went back to the village, and what happened? She was so convincing, because now it no longer came from the lips, but it came from the heart. I have met the Messiah. I met the Messiah. And she was so convincing. What happened? They all came to meet this man, and they begged him to stay in the village. Samaritans inviting a Jew to stay in their village. Look, I could go on talking about this beautiful story all day long. It is a beautiful story, but we'll leave it there because it's been a long reading from the Gospel. Unfortunately, we have an almighty long list of intercessions. We're praying for everything. And so we're going to move on. So what have you got to do? You're going to repeat to yourself every morning when you get up and many times throughout the day. What are you going to repeat? Who am I to judge? You're going to say amen to that.
Amen.
Good.